Good evening, Harmony. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to our midweek service. Today we're continuing our study in the book of Philippians, and we'll be in chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. So we'll be finishing out chapter 2. And today's message is a very personal part of this very personal letter from Paul to the Philippians. And we've entitled the message, A Pastoral Visit. So, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. But before we get into the text, we'll start with some prayer requests. So, for our prayer requests this evening, we want to pray for Miss Althea, who is having a surgery tomorrow. So this would be on the internet on Wednesday night. She's having surgery Thursday morning. And so we want to pray for Miss Althea and just pray that her surgery will go safely and well. I don't believe she's ever had surgery before. And so she's lived a long time without a surgery, and praise the Lord for that. So we're going to pray that everything goes well. She's been in a lot of discomfort for months, and this surgery will greatly help. And then we want to pray for Clyde and Myrtle. Miss Myrtle's had some tests done, and they haven't determined what the problem is yet, but we need to pray for her and her health, and for Clyde as well and his health. And then we want to pray for Miss Lois and Joe. Continue to pray for them and Miss Lois's health. And then we want to pray for John and Carolyn, and pray for John's health. And he's in a lot of pain, but pray for him. We want to pray for Roger, and we want to pray for other members of our church who are experiencing pain or experiencing different health problems. We also want to pray for Brother Sammy Allen, who is a pastor and evangelist from Resaca, Georgia, been preaching a long time, and he has coronavirus and he's in the hospital, and he does seem to be improving. And so he has other health problems as well. So we want to pray for Brother Sammy Allen at this time. And many others we're praying for. And we want to pray for all our listeners and those listening in different countries and those listening here in the United States. And we want to pray for all of you. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your service tonight. We do pray you'd forgive us for our sins. Pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd fill me and help me to preach your word this evening. And I do pray for Miss Althea, and I pray that her surgery will go well. And I pray for Clyde and Myrtle, and I pray for healing. Pray for Miss Lois and Joe, and I pray for healing and comfort. I pray for John and Carolyn, I pray for healing. And I pray for Roger, I pray for healing. And we pray for Miss Shirley. And we pray for your healing and your touch, both Miss Shirley's. And we pray for Brother Sammy Allen, and we pray that you will heal him of COVID and restore to him his health. And we ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray you'd bless us all now, bless all those who are listening, and let this go out and help people. So we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So we'll get into the text. The subject is a pastoral visit. Again, this is a very personal part of this already personal letter from Paul. This was not a letter that he ever meant to be circulated to all the different churches, much less be in the Bible. But God had other plans. And this was inspired scripture, though it was a personal letter. And so it's a part of the canon of scripture. So a visit to Timothy is the, or a visit from Timothy, rather, is the first thing we'll look at. And we'll start in verse 19. So Philippians 2:19 says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." So Paul wanted to get to them himself, but he was under house arrest awaiting trial in Rome. So he decided to send Timothy to see how they're doing. And he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." So Timothy had a pastor's heart. He had been trained by Paul, and he was like a son to Paul. He was Paul's son in the ministry. And Paul wanted them to receive Timothy like they would receive Paul, and to know that Paul was sending his best to them because he couldn't be there. You know, when you can't be with people you love, if you're sending somebody to represent you, you want to send your best. And so that's what Paul did. He loved these people. He wanted to be with them. He could not be there. And so he sent the best he had. He sent Timothy, a man who was like-minded with Paul, who would care for them. And then he makes this powerful statement, and this very true statement. He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And this was the key to Timothy's pastoral care, and to Paul's too, and should be the key to every minister's care for their flock. Unfortunately, what Paul said is true. Most everyone seeks their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice that it doesn't say, "not the things which are the church's." Many of us who pastor focus on the will of the church so that we don't get fired. And certainly there are politics in ministry. But when it comes down to an issue of fundamental doctrine, we must take a stand for Christ. And we must seek the will of Christ above our own wills and lead in the direction that Christ would have us lead. Some leaders talk about having a vision, and that's not always bad, but some people, their vision is something that they'll lead at all costs to fulfill. But oftentimes a vision is usually just our own desires. I mean, some people, some pastors have sacrificed their people. They have burned out their family. They have sacrificed everything to fulfill this vision. And the vision is nothing more than a personal desire and plan. I know a missionary that, or I know of a missionary, I don't know him personally, but I know of a missionary that sacrificed his family for his vision. He had a vision to go to the mission field, and he went, and he lost his wife in the process. And later he wrote a public letter, and he apologized, and he said, "I did not care for my wife. Some things happened. There was a tragedy. My wife needed me to focus on her, and instead I was focusing on fulfilling this dream that I had had since I was a child." And I understand that. I really do. Because I nearly lost my own wife years ago, focusing on the ministry at all cost, the ministry at all cost. I have a pastor friend who's now with the Lord. He passed away recently, but he said early on in his ministry that he sacrificed his relationship with his son for the church. And he could never forgive himself for it. He talked about it almost till his dying day, how he regretted putting the church before his son. And the church I came from, my own pastor, would talk about how in the early days of his ministry, he put his church and the ministry before his wife. And he had to correct that and change that. And so a lot of people do that. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And Christ has given us a family. Christ has given us His Word. Christ has given us doctrine. Christ has given us a true concern for people, because He is concerned for people. He's the shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd. And so Christ has a true concern for people's spiritual welfare. And we must seek the things which are Christ's and not our own. And if we do, Christ will take care of us. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And a lot of people spend their lives seeking things instead of seeking Christ. And they never get the things because they're putting the things before Christ. So we must seek Christ first. And all these things will be added unto us. Christ will take care of us. God will take care of you. That's what He does. That's His business. He'll take care of you if you'll put Him and His kingdom first. And by the way, Christ's kingdom and Christ's righteousness includes taking care of your family. It includes taking care of your family. But what Jesus is saying here is that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll meet your needs. So do the will of God. Do the will of God. And part of the will of God, again, and I have to say this to the men listening, because sometimes we separate the will of God from our families. And yet if you go to the book of Ephesians and you look at what the Bible says about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it ties in being filled with the Holy Spirit to the family relationships. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and so on and so forth. And then it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it talks about the relationship between husbands and wives and children. Wonder why? Because your family and how you treat your family has to do with being filled with the Spirit. And you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and doing the will of God if you're not taking care of your family. And so that's such an important thing. And that's part of seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you do, God will meet your material needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But now back to Philippians. But ye know the proof of Him, that as a son with the Father, He hath served with me in the gospel. So there's no service like gospel service. Again, Timothy was like a son to Paul. And the Philippians knew that. They knew it. But ye know the proof of Him, that as a son with the Father, He hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So Paul wanted to know what was going to happen to him. He was awaiting a hearing before Caesar Nero. And Nero wasn't exactly friendly to Christians. And so Paul, while he was at Rome and he was under house arrest, he said, "I hope to send him presently, but I want to see how it's going to go with me. But I trust in the Lord that also myself shall come shortly. So if Paul was released at his hearing, his plan was to come to them as well. He wanted to visit them too. He was going to send Timothy to watch out for them. Basically what he's saying is I want to see how it's going to go with me as far as my trial is concerned. And once I see how it's going to go, then I'm going to send Timothy to you. And then I hope that I get released. I hope I get released soon, and then I will come visit you as well. But I'm going to send Timothy in the meantime. So the second thing we see is a visit from Epaphroditus. Now the church at Philippi had sent Epaphroditus to Paul to minister to him. And now Paul had sent Epaphroditus back to them with this letter. Yet I suppose it necessary. Now let me read that again. You want to read, yet I suppose, but it's in the past tense. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. So by the time they got this letter, obviously it's Epaphroditus bringing it, so Paul would have sent him, and it was something that Paul supposed to be necessary. Now he says several things about Epaphroditus here. He says he's my brother. He's my brother. And of course, he was. He was a Christian. He was a fellow believer. He was a brother of Paul. And then he says, and he's my companion. He's my friend. And then he says, he's my companion in labor. So he was Paul's friend in the work of the ministry. And it's important to have friends in the work of the ministry. It's hard to do the ministry alone. It's hard to go soul winning by yourself. I've done it before. I've done door-to-door soul winning by myself. It's scary. It's not something you want to do. But you need companions in labor. And then he says he's my fellow soldier. And so there's a battle to be fought. The gospel must be defended and it must be preached. The church must assault the gates of hell. And so, he's my fellow soldier. So my brother, my companion in labor, and my fellow soldier. And that's what Epaphroditus was to Paul. But then he says, he's your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. So to them, to Paul, he was these three things: brother, companion in labor, and fellow soldier. But to them, he was their messenger. Now, he was their messenger to Paul, and he was Paul's messenger to them. And he was going to carry this letter back to them. And he came from them to minister to Paul's wants, and that's what he did. So, but he's your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. So Epaphroditus was a busy man. And he was a lot of things to a lot of people, and he was greatly used of God. And Paul says, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So Epaphroditus became ill, and perhaps the church expected him to return more quickly, and he didn't come back, and then they wondered what had happened to him, and they got a letter and found out he's been ill. He's been sick. And so he got sick. And Paul verifies that. He says, you heard he'd been sick, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul said, it would have devastated me. I'm already locked up here in jail. And if this man who means so much to me, he ministers to me, he's a brother, He's a companion in labor, and he's a fellow soldier. And if he had passed away from his sickness, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. And therefore, he says God had mercy on him, but he also had mercy on me by keeping him alive. We don't know what this sickness was. The Bible doesn't say. Perhaps he had the coronavirus. No, probably not that. But nonetheless, he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. So Paul says, if I've been careful in sending him, he's well enough to travel. I wanted him to stay until he was well enough to travel, but now he's well enough to travel, and he's coming. He's been sent to you, and so when you see him again, you'll rejoice. And when I hear about that, I will be less sorrowful. I'm in jail. It's sad. I wish I could be with you. I wish I could come see you, but I can't. But when you all rejoice, and by the way, that's a big theme of Philippians, is a book of rejoicing, which is interesting because Paul wrote it while he was locked up. Under house arrest, but still in chains. And so he says, I want you all to rejoice, and you'll rejoice, and that'll make me less sorrowful. And then he exhorts them, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. So, for Christ's work, he was nigh unto death. I would assume this is still talking about his sickness that he had. And whatever happened, we don't know if he was injured and that made him sick, or if he got some kind of a disease, or if he exhausted himself. But whatever happened, for the work of Christ, for this work of coming to Paul and ministering to Paul, he was nigh unto death. He was near to death. Not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. The phrase, to supply your lack of service towards me, simply means that they couldn't be there. The Philippians couldn't be there, so they had sent Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus, it was his job to minister to Paul and do what they could not do, to supply your lack of service toward me. And we also have this interesting phrase, not regarding his life, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. So, not regarding his life means he exposed himself to danger. He took a risk. He gambled with his life. Vincent says, it was also a gambler's word to throw down a stake. Hence, Paul says that Epaphroditus recklessly exposed his life. The brotherhoods of the ancient church who cared for the sick at the risk of their lives were called reckless persons. And so we see here that Epaphroditus was a reckless person. He didn't regard his own life for the work of Christ. And the work of Christ is risky. It's usually not in the United States. It's usually not risky here, but in some places it's very risky. People risk their lives when they preach the gospel. They may be under pressure from family or from the government or from other other forces to not preach the gospel, to not minister, to not share a gospel tract, to not have a Bible. But they risk their lives. It's risky business. And indeed, some people risk their health to get the gospel out. And some people exhaust themselves in the ministry. Now, even Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, said, let's come apart and rest for a while. And so we need rest. We need to recoup. We can't do the ministry if we're physically exhausted. But here was a man that was so zealous, or rather I should say we can't do the ministry as effectively if we're physically exhausted. But here was a man that was so zealous for the work of Christ. He had a mission. He had a mission. He had to come to Paul. He could not turn back. It didn't matter the danger. He had to come to Paul. He had to minister to Paul's needs while Paul was in prison. The church loved Paul. It was Epaphroditus' mission to do this. And so he risks his own life to do it. He gambled his own life. And how many of us would do that? How many of us to minister to someone's needs that God told us to minister to would risk our own lives? How many of us to take the gospel to someone would risk our lives? There's a fine line between the American attitude of, well, we need to stay safe and we need to take care of ourselves and we need to take care of our family and all that. And there's a fine line between the American attitude and a biblical attitude towards that. Because the American attitude oftentimes is you don't need to take any risk at all. We're a risk-averse society. And I certainly know that my wife and I are very big on insurance and all of that because we're very risk-averse people. And there's a line between that and a biblical attitude of taking the gospel and carrying out the work of God even to the risk of your own life. But that's exactly what Epaphroditus did. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. And so he was willing to lay down his life. Now we don't know Epaphroditus. Perhaps he was a single young man and he didn't have a wife and kids. Pretty probable that he was. And so he went on this mission. And so that's a little bit different. But the truth of the matter is, how many of us are willing to take a risk, to gamble, to get the gospel to somebody? And even married people, even when you have a wife and kids, you need to be willing to follow Christ wherever he leads. I mean, there's married people, their wives are fully on board and they take their wife and their children to risky places to preach the gospel. I've got friends that minister in South Africa and they minister in particular areas which are not safe. Now, they live in a safe area, but they minister in areas which are not always the safest areas. And their life can be at risk. Brother Austin Gardner, years ago in Peru, they had bought some land for for their Bible college that they started. And in Peru, squatters can go on the land and just squat there and take your land. And so these group of people came to the land And when Brother Austin had bought it, and when he came there, they started throwing rocks at him. And they've got pictures of him with blood running down his face where they had basically tried to stone him. They had thrown all these rocks at him and pelted him with rocks. And it was a risky business getting the Bible college started and doing those things. And Christianity is not always safe. It's not always a safe zone. And we've gotten so far away from what was done in the Bible with our American way of life and our safety and our security. You know, there may come a time when we experience real persecution in the United States, and it becomes a choice. Do we worship or do we hide in our homes? Do we proclaim the gospel or do we retreat? And we may have to risk our lives. And always remember the verse we read, what Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you put Christ first, if you put Christ first, if I put Christ first, we're not going to end up as the losers. We end up as the winners. We need to put Christ first. We need to be willing to go to uncomfortable places and to do uncomfortable things and even risky things to get the gospel to our neighbors and friends and to people in our community. And, you know, you talk about risk today and everybody's coronavirus. And we're taking great precautions. We put a video on Facebook recently about the precautions we're taking. But we're meeting legally, we're doing it within the law, and we're taking great precautions to make sure that we're safe. But a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't meet at all. You should just wait in your homes and not risk people's lives. Well, we're not risking people's lives. We're being safe. We're following recommended government precautions, CDC precautions. But we're going to meet. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to get the gospel out. And that's what we should do. And we're a far, far cry from what was going on in the Bible and what is going on in many countries around the world. Because for the work of Christ, He was nigh unto death, not regarding His life, to supply your lack of service towards Me. May we put Christ first. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing. I do pray that we will put You first and minister for You and do what we need to do. I pray we do what we need to do to get the gospel out. I pray we'd follow You. I pray we'd take care of our families. I pray we would carry out Your ministry, and we thank You that the two don't have to conflict. We pray that You would help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and we will see you Saturday night. We have not had the Saturday night Bible study for the last couple of weeks because of some sickness, but we will see you Saturday night is the plan right now. Saturday night with the Saturday night Bible study, and then Sunday morning at 11. God bless you. Hope you have a great day.